Hey guys, in this episode of Social Media Secrets with Rachel Peterson, I am going to talk a little bit about some of the biggest lessons I learned in 2019, as well as some of the best decisions I made, the worst decisions I made, and what it all means for 2020. But first things first, we gotta cue that intro. Hey, I'm Rachel Peterson, marketing expert and queen of social media. The question entrepreneurs are always asking is, how do I make social media work? How do I make money with social media for my clients and for myself? We're gonna break it down on this episode of Social Media Secrets. Hey guys, so I'm stoked. I'm on my way to the gym. I have been pretty good for a while now about going to the gym regularly. But we're gonna dive into some of the lessons I learned in 2019 while I drive. Don't worry, I'm doing this hands-free, so don't stress about my ability to get into a car accident. So I'm really excited because there's something so neat for me about the start of a new year. There's something just really powerful. And I know a lot of people discount it, but I recently led this entire workshop called 2020 Vision. And it's all about creating the process that I go through to create a new year truly. The reason most New Year's resolutions don't work is because people attack it from external to internal when you really have to start with internal to external. And so we actually did that entire workshop for $7. And I know that that's like super crazy cheap. And I did that because I wanted everyone to have access to it. It's so just like life-changing. But if you actually want to grab that, it's still only $7. You can head on over to rachelpeterson.com/podcast and grab it in the show notes for this episode. So that will be totally available to you. But as we dive into this new year, there's something so beautiful about a fresh start, or kind of like a built-in moment to reevaluate your year. How has your year been? How has it gone? And you know, there were a lot of lessons I learned this year, and I'm really excited to dive into them. And in a future episode, I'm actually going to dive into the biggest lessons I learned over the last decade, which is neat too. So this year was awesome. Back in, earlier this year, we were hitting and breaking records for our business, for revenue, for growth, for team growth. All the plans that we had were huge, and it was, you know, everything was starting to just look incredible, and I was so excited. It felt like we were on top of the world. And back in April, something kind of crazy happened. I just was not ready for it. I guess I, you know, to be honest, I built plans on ground that wasn't solid and I didn't realize it. And so back in April, we suddenly got a text from our business partner and he was basically like, I'm leaving, I'm done. And suddenly I had two companies that I was responsible for leading that were bigger than I had ever led before. One of them was bigger than I had ever led, let alone double that, which was a little bit intimidating. And so we actually let a lot of our clients go earlier this year in the agency because I was just like, I can't. At that point, I was like, I don't have the skill set to lead twice the company at this level. And so what happened during that time was really interesting because at first it was so scary and painful. And this all happened while I was on a trip to Jamaica with my husband, and we didn't see it coming at all. And, you know, there was not only that, but then also kind of realizing that, you know, call it what you want, but basically one of my old mentors had essentially interviewed him to hire him for his job. And they both kind of were lying about it. And then a couple weeks later, it came out. And so what that did, you know, whatever, I don't really care. Their line was kind of, it's, that's how business goes. That was what I was told. But what happened through that process was, at first I felt like, oh my gosh, I've been so betrayed. Like, this is not okay. This is so wrong. And it brought up a lot of painful memories for me. And so I'm going to dive into what some of those were. And by the way, you know, like, call it what you want, for a mentor to hire out your business partner from underneath you, call it what you want. I'm going to straight up say, to me, that's poaching. And I don't think that that's good behavior to build a solid reputation, but you know, the truth always comes out. So what I'm going to say though is that at first, while it felt like a total betrayal on all fronts, and I still believe that that behavior was congruent with betrayal, what I really discovered was that ultimately you can't trust people the way that you want to. And I don't say that in like a paranoid way. What I mean by that is that no one is ever going to care about you and your own growth as much as you do. Very rarely will you meet a mentor who does care as much as you do, but it's not their responsibility to make sure that your business is sustainable and that you continue to persist even as the hardships come up and even as you go through challenging seasons. So first and foremost, what it taught me was the way that I needed to develop the business. And Paul and I, during that season, let me just tell you, it brought me and Paul so much closer because we had to suddenly go back to back. And there was something so powerful about this process. So while we went through it, I was like a hurt mess. But then as we started to grow through it, it was like, oh my gosh, this was the most amazing lesson in disguise. Other people's ugly behavior brought about so much growth and change. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to turn this into a win for me. So Paul and I went back to back, and there was something so cool about him and I realizing, like, when I win, he wins. When he wins, I win. When we win together. And so we were back to back. It felt like Mr. and Mrs. Smith taking on just bigger challenges and exciting things. And he's always got my back. I've always got his. He says, hey, babe, I need you to go generate X amount. And I'm like, okay, I'll go do that. And I say, hey, babe, I need you to lock down and give us a safety net. And he's like, okay, I'm on it. And like, we've got each other. It's so cool. That would not have ever happened if that betrayal hadn't happened this year. And so it was crazy because it only made sense looking at it in reverse. But then something else beautiful happened from it. And I was forced. Well, let me rephrase that. I wasn't forced. I realized that this common theme, this fear I have of being betrayed and abandoned, was coming up, and it was a core childhood wound that was actually true. And I realized that it wasn't so much this particular situation that brought it up. It was more a lifetime of those experiences happening that suddenly were triggered. And I realized today's the day that I'm going to start dealing with it. So sometimes we have these things that come up over and over again. Maybe it's triggers, maybe it's pain or hurt or experiences we've been through, or, you know, like just there's a compounding effect of painful experiences in our lives. And that was the time that I said, I'm done allowing this to compound and compile. And through that was one of the most beautiful, painful, incredible healing processes I've ever been through. What happened was I realized that throughout my life, there's been a lot of these experiences of being abandoned and betrayed. And you might have experienced a lot of that too. But this process was the one where I said, I'm done reliving all of these past experiences because of one person's stupidity. Thanks. Sorry, someone just let me waved me through a stop sign. And I realized I just said thanks to them out loud on my podcast. So, oh, I think I just turned onto a road that is closed. Well, that's kind of cool. Okay, awesome. So it was really, really interesting because I said, I'm done reliving all these past experiences every time someone lets me down. And the cool part was discovering the power that I had to actually heal. And so I want you to imagine, like, you had this massive wipeout. Maybe it was a car accident or a bike accident, and you like hit gravel. And maybe that time you didn't go to the doctor, or the doctor said, well, we just need to let it heal for now and we'll go back and remove the gravel at some point. I want you to imagine that, okay? Now I want you to imagine that the day comes and that gravel is starting to cause problems in your life, and you're like, ah, it's time. What they have to do is they have to cut, recut open your skin and your muscle to go in and remove the gravel or maybe even the shrapnel, right? Like depending on what the injury came from, but they have to go back in and recut it open so that it can heal again properly. So it's going to be painful. It's going to be a procedure. It's going to have some downtime. And that is exactly what we went through in April. And that was a really crazy cool process. So I got kind of quiet and, you know, a lot of my friends and my networks were like, are you okay? We're really worried. You seemed really quiet. But it was actually one of the most beautiful seasons of my life as I learned to heal. And I was like, that's not going to be a part of my identity anymore. It's absolutely always a part of my story, but my story does not define me. What I do with my story and what I do moving forward is what defines me. So I know I'm sharing a lot about me, but I'm hoping that you're finding some parallels in your own life through this. There were a couple more things that came about that were huge for us this year. And one of the biggest things was realizing that you ultimately can decide if you want to reinvent yourself. You know, I realized that there was this relationship in my life where someone that I loved was not allowing me to grow in their own mind. Now, hold on. Before we dive into this, first and foremost, let me tell you, no one else can ever not allow you to grow. You alone are in control of that. You alone have the ability to decide if you want to grow and change, etc. And sometimes, in order for you to grow in a healthy space, you may need to take a break from the people in your life that aren't willing to see that and aren't willing to allow that growth in their own minds. And so the way that they're reacting is putting you back into a place of who you used to be and who you no longer want to be. And so it's not that they can control your growth. It's that sometimes you need to grow in a cleaner space for a while and you may need just a little bit of distance. I found this to be really, really true with families of origin. And I love our families. They're great. But I also find that we sometimes allow family to put us in a box. And so this is the year that I was like, you know, there's an identity that I developed growing up and being in several situations of real abuse that is not a part of who I am anymore. I no longer act like a girl who has to just barely survive. I no longer act like someone who becomes incredibly scared and scarce and full of lack and suddenly becomes bristly and shuts out everyone. That's not who I need to be anymore. And I need a little space from my family. Not all of them, but some family members and some friends, while I give myself permission to grow and evolve beyond that. Doesn't mean I'm cutting them out. Doesn't mean that they're toxic. It means that I want to focus on becoming very clear about who I am until I'm ready to invite them back in to see some of the growth. And they don't need to acknowledge it. They don't need to accept it even. I need to be so certain in my own identity. And the same is true for you. You need to be so certain in your own identity that someone else not getting it or not seeing it doesn't rattle you. And so sometimes those seasons, those breaks in life are great for building that new identity. And now, today, through in doing so, what I learned this year is that I literally am so certain of who I am that if you were to say something else or bring up a past, you know, identity or adjective that used to describe me at any point in my life, I'd be like, that's not who I am. I know who I am. I know myself. I am very comfortable with who I am. And your description of me just doesn't match who I not only have chosen to be, but just am. So there's a lot of power in becoming so certain in your own identity that no one else can rattle it. Couple other lessons that I want to share with you, and this was huge. Now, the reason I'm sharing all of this from a what I learned perspective is because I don't want to come across preachy with any of this. If something resonates with you in your life and your business, feel free to take it. Feel free to apply it to yourself. But I don't want this to come across like I have all the answers all the time. Instead, this is learn from some of my lessons if you want, you know, discover which ones hold true for you or which ones could have validity and, you know, feel free to discard the rest. So another massive lesson that I learned is that your business, for those of you who run businesses, whether it's just a client or two, or you have tons of clients, Your business is ultimately a reflection of you. Your business is a reflection of your personal growth, of your mindset, your mentality, the condition of your heart, where you're at in terms of your belief or lack of belief. When I started to step back and become an observer of life versus a reactive person, there was so much that happened. It was beautiful to start seeing like, oh, I think that that's their issue, not mine. And when you start to step back and emotionally detach yourself from the outcomes, and you start to just kind of say, I'm just going to be an observer and watch and, you know, identify patterns and see what could be true or what is true, you know, there's something really powerful in that. And when I started to see the way that people reacted didn't really have much to do with me, but had more to do with their lack of belief or their state, their mentality, it was like, wow, there's so much freedom in this. When I put out, you know, an offer, let's just say I put out an offer and someone freaks out and says that's way too expensive, which, by the way, people do at $27 and people do at $35,000 and even at $100,000. Like, people do that at all kinds of prices. They say that's way too much money. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my offer. It has everything to do with them and their state of mind and their belief about money. When I say, let's say, for example, I am done using Instagram and someone says, oh my gosh, like, that's just because you're not good at it or whatever, and they freak out, it's because they're feeling defensive over a platform that maybe they care about. And I'm not throwing rocks at Instagram as a whole. I'm saying for me, it didn't work well and they flip out. That's a state of their own mind and heart and mindset. So stepping back, emotionally detaching myself temporarily and becoming an observer of situations helped me to not freak out. It helped me to feel like, okay, I can handle so much more than I used to be able to. And for me, it literally felt like the keys to the kingdom. It was unbelievable. And so that served me probably more than I even know yet. But that was super, super, super helpful for me in 2019, and it's something I'm definitely bringing into 2020. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Make sure you head on over to rachelpeterson.com/podcast so that you can grab my 2020 vision planning workshop. It's almost 3 hours, which is amazing. And you can take it into little pieces if you want. It comes with templates. We did it live, but the replay is available on demand. So you can head on over there to grab that. But I'm going to catch you guys later. I am just pulling up to the gym and I will catch you on the next episode. Bye, guys.